It's got that fast forward look to it. Hope I don't sound like a chipmunk. All right, let's go to work. No, because when I do that, it messes up even more. Look at all these wires, though. I'll be choked to death one of these days.
We can only hope.
Only hope. All right, you got your Bibles. Go to Proverbs. Because this meeting consists of the people that are the smartest and the brightest, the most mature. You're not like that second group that comes. I'm going to let y'all do the work this morning, all right? God creates us spiritual beings, physical beings, emotional beings. We have a soul, a body, and a heart, and or a will, okay? A mind. All right. In this little vortex right there is the wheel that we've been talking about, the wheel of my life. Man, that is almost perfect. Got a little cowlick up here at the top, but that's all right. All right. Now, that wheel, here's what we've done. We've looked at it, and those of you who've been here got this down. Those of you who are, this is your first time to see this, you may want to do this. You want to may want to take this assessment for yourself, all right? But in your life, there are influences, there are relationships that affect who you see yourself to be, how you act and react toward others. And that's the point of this, is to look and see how well balanced, focused your life is. We use this because it's a lot easier to draw balance than it is focus. But the first one, the primary relationship that is going to influence all others is your relationship with God. That's first and foremost. On the axis, on the other side of God, the only person that can keep you away from God is yourself. All right? So, okay, this one is about to be donated. Oh, almost. Let's try this one. All right. Now, all the way around, the next group that has the biggest influence on your life, your actions, your reactions, the way you see yourself, the way you relate to God or to other people, the group that does that is family. And that's normal. That's just the way we grow up. You got mom and daddy, and they're the ones you first depend on, and then you got brothers and sisters, and then you got husbands and wives and such, so we got family. Now, as you grow older, you see a change. Like a baby's attached to mama, then a baby's attached to mom and daddy, then baby's attached to mom and daddy, brother, sister, mom and daddy, brother, sister, aunt and uncle. But eventually when they go to school, what happens? There's a transition, and by the time a child gets to be a teenager, they are pulling away from family and making attachments to peers. Now, there are parents that that get upset about that. I'm losing my baby. Yes, you are, but you want to. It's a part of them learning to walk. It's a part of them learning to ride the bike. They've got to make attachments with other people. That's a normal, healthy development. That the friends comes into play here. But that's what makes it so significant that they pick good friends, right? And that's what Proverbs has been telling us. All right, then, and I didn't know a better way to say it. The things that affect me are, it's dealing with God, it's dealing with family, it's dealing with people, are my actions. Things I choose to do. My responsibilities, to either be responsible or not be responsible. And in every one of these, like we've always said, there are negatives and positives, all right? The opposite of actions is reactions. And these actions tend to be outside forces. Things that are outside something I'm doing. Reactions usually are generated from the inside. I don't like that somebody cut me off in traffic, so I react. It's not what they did, it's how I react to it that makes the difference, right? So I've got actions, reactions, and then, and especially, we've seen it here, it's true in any church, anywhere, any place, any time, but all of us are affected by our past, or what we perceive to be our past, or how we view our past. And then, of course, sometimes if you got such a horrible past, you don't have any hope for the future. I deal with kids all the time in jail that I ask them, once in a while I'll ask them, dream for me. Tell me what you'd like your life to be. Kid looked at me not long ago, a kid who was a street kid, turned out on the streets by his family. His families are in the drug cartel, so he had no family. He became a soldier for the cartel, did whatever they wanted him to do, and got caught. He's in jail, and he's in a place now for the first time in his life where he has a place to sleep that's safe. He has normal, regular meals, good food, and medical care. I mean, he's got school. He's got everything. In fact, he'll say, I don't want to go home. This is much better than going home. So that's the kind of situation this kid's in. Anyway, he doesn't have a hope for the future, but that will affect the way he makes decisions. All right? So we look at our past. I just left it open. That was my fault. Notice I didn't throw it. I didn't throw a tantrum either. Okay. Now, evaluate yourself real quick. Evaluate yourself real quick. How do you view, and of course it's personal, how do you view your relationship with God? How do you view your relationship with God? Now, we've done it in here, and I did one just a few days ago, and the person said, well, my relationship with God is really bad. Well, I said, how do you see yourself? And of course, at that point in time, she was saying, man, I see myself really low. I mean, I'm not healthy. I don't feel good about myself at all. Then I asked her about family, and she said, man, it's good, but it's not as good as it could be. And she gave me a number. I used the number from 1 to 10. And then I said, well, how about your friends? And she said, oh, man, I've got the best friends in the world. Okay? I said, but how about your actions? She said, man, I get up every morning. I go to work. I take care of my business. I pay my bills. I'm never late on my rent. I mean, she's very responsible. But I said, how do you do on your reactions? And she just started crying, so we gave her. So I kind of knew right there that was going to be kind of low. And I said, well, grade your past. I mean, I think she was 23 years old. I said, in the first 23 years of your life, what kind of grade would you give yourself? And she said, well, it's been good. So she just gave herself a 5, right in the middle. And I said, now, what do you think about the future? All right? And again, it had something to do with the way she is raised. She said, I feel like my future is pretty bright. And she put an if to it. If I can get all this stuff together. If I can get my stuff together, then I can have a bright future. All right, now what you do is you attach all these. And you look at that, and when you evaluate yourself, now not somebody else, but in this situation of this girl, if she lives this kind of life, if she's driving on this kind of wheel on her car, what kind of ride is it at 20 miles an hour? It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be rough. But nobody lives at 20 miles an hour. Everybody's busy. I mean, and this girl had all kinds of places to go, all kinds of things to do, all kinds of friends that wanted her to do this, all kinds of people that needed this or wanted that. So she lives the 90/24/7, you know, Mach 4 hair on fire kind of speed. You drive that fast, that far, on that kind of wheel, what happens? Yeah, and we've said it a jillion times. And that's when you crash and burn. And in this room, there are frequently people who could, if they would, just testify, that's exactly what happened to me. And so I'll start first. That's what happened to me. I crashed and burned. I got my life completely out of balance. Completely out of balance, and began to do things that I would not have done. I started to think in ways that I would have never thought, or that I thought I would never think, and do things that I would have never thought I would do. And that's what happens. You get your life out of balance. Now, the problem is we get to going so fast and so furious that we don't take time to look at this and figure out what do we need to develop.
Because those, and especially us church crowd, we have forever thought that our knowledge of Bible truths determines the health of our spirituality. And the health of our spirituality, if it's determined by our knowledge of God's Word or church rules, house rules, church house rules, then that also, then our emotions must be stable because we know the right rules. Well, that's not true, y'all. That is not true at all. So we need to take some... That's why we do it every summer. That's why we take some time to look back through the Proverbs in the hopes that we break out of this mindset that knowing church house rules protects us from life stressors. They don't. Church house rules need to be known if they're truth, but they do not protect you from dealing with the stress, the actions, the reactions of family, friends, your own heart, right? Okay. Now, this girl needed some balance. And that was the point the whole time this summer we've been focused on. How do we get our lives in balance using God's wisdom? All right? Now, in every one of these, there's a positive and a negative. Today, we're focusing on self. All right? Give me the most obvious positive negative about self. The most obvious. And you're thinking, okay, now I'm going to get this wrong. You can't get it wrong. Self-image. Your self-image. Now take self-image, take that phrase, and your view of yourself. What's the most positive self-image you could have? Then what's the least positive? Most positive or most negative? All right. Seeing yourself as a child of God, created in the image of God, someone that's been rescued, saved, and become a new creature in God. Okay? What would be the opposite of that? Completely unworthy. Can't do anything right.
I don't qualify.
I'm not worthy, etc. I'm sorry?
Ugly.
I mean, just all kinds of hateful things. Now, where did we begin life? We started as a child. We were created by God in His image, right? We were created by God in His image, and we were safe, without sin. We were, in the words of Psalms 139, and we've done it so much, you bound to have it. If you don't remember these, I will throw something at you. God created us, and therefore we are good and very good and wonderful and precious. And all the things, all the days ordained for us by God are written in His book. He has a plan for us. That's Psalms 139. If you didn't remember it, I'd encourage you to read it. That's who we are. And we started, and honest, the closer we get to God, the more we see ourselves, the more like God sees us, right? Now, we've had fun with this in this place before. Are we holy? Yes, no. That's right. Are we righteous? Yes, no. Or no, yes, depending on what your mood is today. If we're honest, have we messed up? Yes. But have our messed ups been washed away? Have our messed ups been accounted as right? Is our faith accounted us as righteous and therefore our mess up no longer matter? Yes. So the closer we get to God, the more aware we are of our weaknesses, but the more aware we are of His grace, we see ourselves the way God sees us. And we've said it in here, and we're going to keep repeating it till you get, well, even if you get tired of it, we're going to keep repeating it because we have a new face every now and again, and we need to say it so often that we begin to say it to our children. We have we've become fascinated with self-esteem. Preachers have gone berserk preaching lessons about self-esteem and the positive self-image. And no criticism there. I mean, just it's everywhere. You can read it anywhere, everywhere. Listen to it anywhere and everywhere. What I want us to see, though, it's not about our self-esteem. It's about our God esteem. It's seeing ourselves the way God sees us. That's the key. That's the key to becoming the self that is healthy and whole, is seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Does that make sense? One more time. We see ourselves the way God sees us. Make sense? Now, if we see ourselves the way God sees us, do we have to acknowledge that there are things in my life that I don't want in my life, that God doesn't want in my life? Yes, it's not ignoring sin. It's not justifying sin. It's not excusing sin. It's taking sin by the horns and saying, I'm going to deal with you, sin, and I get that sin resolved somehow. How do I resolve it? We talked last week. Sometimes it involves a confession. Sometimes it involves a renouncing. Sometimes it involves a redemption. Whatever it takes to get rid of that sin so we can become what God created us to be, that's what we want. That's where we are. Okay? Now, we've got little ones in here, so, and they wouldn't fit in this category, but the rest of us that have got any age on us at all have got to deal with who we are and what we've become. Okay? So, what was it before I get over this? Off of it. What was it if I started out here with God? Look at this axis, and it brought me all the way on the other side. What was it that got me, that caused me to go from being with God in the image of God to how I see myself now? What happened? Sin. All right? Sin is what separates me from God. Now, I'm changing your wheel here a second. But sin is what brought us away from God. But how did that happen? Did you wake up some morning and say, I think today I will sin. I think I'm going to sin for the first time in my life today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my first sin today and be separated from God and be damned. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Is that what you did? What happened? It was slow. And that's why I put a big old arc in it. It was just a little slip. And a little slip. And a little further. Until finally, until you fell. Now, what was it? And let's be honest. Not Sunday school, let's be honest. What was it? Yeah. What was it? Selfishness. What was it?
People I was associated with.
All right. What'd they have you do? What'd you get done?
It was just a little bit at a time, and everybody does it. It's no big deal.
Yeah. What was it? You're answering correctly. What it was it? Got to fit in. They're my teammates. It's who I play football with. It's who I go to school with. It's my cousin. You know, I kept telling you, you got to watch out for your cousins. Every kid in jail right now, every kid I've got in jail right now that ever smoked dope, you know where they got it? From their cousin. I'm serious. I say, who gave you your first joint? Who gave you your first blunt? My cousin. Well, 99.99999% of the times it's that cousin. So protect your children from their cousins. Or don't let your child become that cousin, right? Watch out for those cousins. All right, now, the point is, you begin to slip a little bit. I did not wake up one day and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go make this decision, and I'm going to make this mess of things and blow up my life. Just slowly, ever so slowly, things begin to slip. I begin to drift away. Just make different decisions. Make worse decisions. And finally, the sin was committed. And it washed me away. Now, if that's how it happens to get away from God, how do you think we rebuild our life from God? How do we build our life back to God? Now, I know that Jesus died and He saves me. He takes away the sin. He takes away the death. We've got that. We understand that. And not making a lot of that, we thank God for that. And one of these minutes here, we're going to remember that and celebrate that. But how do I rebuild my life? Because I can be saved and still have trouble with my mouth. I can be saved and still have trouble with my actions. I can be saved and still have trouble with my reactions. I can be saved and still not have a good family relationship and not have good friends. How do I do that? One step at a time? A little bit at a time. How? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Start in chapter, look at chapter 12. I want you to look at 12:15. Now, because there are so many verses that apply to this, we can't go through all of them. I'm going to just show you a few, and then you're going to have to do some work on your own, all right? And if you earn it, you learn it, right? 12:15. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So I find myself in this shape. I find myself, my life is away, been destroyed by my foolishness. What do I begin to do? Tell me the verse. What does it say to do? Find somebody who's wise. Find somebody who's been there, done that, and made it back, and listen to their advice. But the fool seems, the way of the fool seems right to him. While I was doing this, while I was going this direction, what was I telling myself? You deserve it. What was I telling myself? I got this under control. What was I telling myself? I've never heard somebody's purse start talking, Mark. That is too good. Oh. Only here. At least it wasn't some rap song playing. All right. What was I telling myself? I can do it. That's right. All of you are right on target. And I'm thinking, how do they know what I was thinking? You know how I know? You know how you know what I was thinking? It was the same stuff you was thinking, right? But nobody's nailed one of the biggies. Doesn't really matter. God wants me to be happy. And no one knows. No one cares. And nobody will ever find out. The way of the fool seems right to him. Now look at chapter 14 and find the same verse said a different way. Look at verse 12, 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Is that true? Yep. There's people sitting in this room that could testify the truth of that. Because in the midst of that foolishness, even if you know it's wrong, knowing it was wrong should have stopped the action. It didn't, so what was I thinking? Well, it might be wrong, but nobody will ever get hurt. Nobody will ever know. A jillion lies you tell yourself. There's a way that seems right, but it leads to death. Now look in 16. 16. Look at 25. 16:25. Have you read that before? Okay, now folks, when God writes the same verse twice, what do you know? This must be something we need to pay attention to. Your mama doesn't repeat herself. Your dad doesn't repeat himself. Now sometimes they do because they're old and forgetful. He's not here, so I can say that. But sometimes they say the same thing again and again because they know how important it is and they know we're going to forget it. Guess what? God said it now twice the same way, and He said it more than twice in the book. Five or six times He's going to say this same kind of thing. So here's the point. I can't trust me. I can't trust me. How do I know I can't trust me? Look what I did. Look what I did. I can't trust me. So what do I do? Exactly. I figure God made me. He can remake me, right? So I let Him... So now how do you start this? Build it with me from Proverbs. How about that verse we love to quote? It's Lynn's favorite verse. It's Sherry's favorite verse. It's everybody's favorite verse in Proverbs. I'm going to start it. You finish it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Can you tell me where? These two can't talk. Where is it? Nope. I'm not going to take a guess. You got to nail this one because this one is so off. This was so repeated. Outstanding, young lady. You get a donut. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What did my understanding bring me to? Sin, shame, pain, hurt for not only me but tons of other people. That's what my understanding did. But my God's, if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, if I acknowledge Him in all my ways. And folks, that acknowledge Him in all my ways is not just you waking up in the morning and saying, I acknowledge You today. No. That's in every moment, every decision. All right, God, acknowledging You, it's kind of like noticing these kids understand. These kids know it. I guarantee you they do it. It's built into their little human baby systems. They're doing something they know Mama does not want them to do. Mom is out of the room. They will, as they do it, do what? They'll look over their shoulder. That's exactly what He's teaching us to do. Acknowledge God. Look for God in every situation. This woman is saying this. God, what do you think about that? This man is offering you this. God, what do you think about that? You acknowledge God in all... He said all. I didn't. All your ways. And what will He do? What's the promise? I love my old Bible. It said He will direct your steps. But this new Bible, this new version is not too bad either. He will straighten your ways. And folks, if you're on a straight way, we've discussed it. If you're on a straight way, guess what? You can't get lost. There's no turns to make. You just keep going straight. You can bounce between the ditches, but you can get there if you just keep going, right? That's how this starts. Now go to chapter 4 and tell me, if I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways, if I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways, what should be the number one first priority from God? And you just can keep listing. But if you finally get to verse, what is it, 7? Look at verse 7. Because He'll use the word supreme, which is priority. What do? You get wisdom. So the way for me to get back up here, to rebuild my life, not to be saved, but to rebuild my life, is I cannot trust myself, because myself's who got me in this mess. I have got to trust the Lord, and then I have got to seek wisdom. I got to make wisdom a priority, right? Now, Kurt got us started. There's one answer before Kurt's. Where do I get this wisdom? You ask God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? All right, then what do I do? Look in chapter 4, verse 1. What do? If you want, you go to your parents. Now, most of the time, now folks, in my case, that was obvious. That was obvious. After I crashed and burned, that was one of the first places I turned, because I knew my mother and dad would know what to do to help. Now, honest, We've got folks that come here that don't have that kind of hope. They don't have that kind of help, I mean. So folks, guess what? Sometimes we've got to be their parents. We've got to be their mom and dad. We've got to be that older, wiser counsel. All right? We've got to be available to them because they don't have a mom and dad they can call on like I had. But you listen to wise counsel. He who walks with the wise grows wise. And he said in 4:7 that wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. And you get it however you can get it. You ask God. You read the Proverbs. You seek wise counsel. You learn from your mistakes. You watch nature. All those things we've discussed. You do whatever you have to do to get wisdom. Now, in 4:23 is the rest of the lesson. In 4:23 is the rest of the lesson. Because if I'm going to rebuild my life, the place to start. Now, when my mess blew up, I knew I had to have a job. So I went to the first place I knew they were hiring. To a convenience store. They were looking for people to work the graveyard shift. I knew they'd hire me. You don't have to be qualified for anything. You just got to be a warm body that can count change. Well, you don't even have to count change. You have to just be able to read the register that tells you how much change to give back. I knew that I had to get a job. But that's not how I rebuilt my life. How do you rebuild your life? Because I could have got a job and still been a mess. I could have even gotten a better job. Well, I did. I got a job making 25 more cents an hour counting boll weevil bugs. And I liked it better because I didn't have to talk to anybody all day long. I could just be off by myself. Didn't know what a boll weevil looked like, but I got the job. But I could have had a job and still been a mess. So how do you rebuild your life? 4:23, what does it say? Guard your heart. I have read it, quoted it, preached it, fussed, cussed, discussed it all my life. I'm still convinced that this may be the verse that is at the heart of rebuilding your life, of changing your life. If you're trying to take control of a habit, start here. If you're trying to change your karma, start here. Forget karma. Forget voodoo. Forget all that stuff. Just get your heart right. Why get your heart right? What does he say? For out of the heart come the issues of life. Your life is what comes from your heart. So if you get your heart right, guess what? One more time. If your heart's right, what's going to happen with your life? Now, does that mean you're going to get a better paying job? Not necessarily. Does that mean that you won't ever get the sniffles or some bad disease? No. But it means that your life will become what God wants it to be if you guard your heart. My fingers aren't long enough, but my granddaughter has these long, skinny old fingers, and she can make a heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now, guard implies two things. And we got the positive and the negative again. What does guard imply? You keep out bad stuff or you keep in good stuff. Really, isn't that... A guard in a bank is there for what? Keep the money in and the robbers out. Guards at my place are there for what? Keep the bad in. Yeah, you don't want them out. Right. There is a reason you have a guard. So you put a guard over your heart. Now, let's start first within. Guard your heart means to keep something in. Now, from the Proverbs, tell me something good that needs to be kept in. Wisdom, knowledge. Understanding. What do I keep in? All that's good stuff. God's Word, because if I keep that good stuff in, that's what's going to come out of my mouth and in my life. I found one, and I'll be honest, I didn't find it till this morning. I was just thrilled to death to find it. Because the truth is, one of the things that happens to us when we mess up is we lose our sense of how God sees us. Counselors will say, well, you don't have any self-esteem, or you are insecure. And I'll have all those kind of discussions with you want to have. But the key to rebuilding your self-esteem, the key to overcoming insecurity, is to see yourself the way God sees you, right? And I tell you, there's no better place than that Psalms 139. But I want you to look in Proverbs 8 for a second. I want you to look at Proverbs 8 for a second. It was one of those things I knew was here, but I didn't know where it was here. And that's one of the frustrating things about Proverbs, right? You can't seem to find... I mean, there's so much, it's hard to locate it. But look in Proverbs chapter 8. Start in verse 22, okay? In Proverbs 8, 22, talking about wisdom, and I know that because of verse 12. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works, before His deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. Okay? When there was no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no spring abounding with water. Before there was anything, land, water, stuff of anything, God brought wisdom out. Okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 30. You can read all of that if you want to, but I want to focus on this one. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. How does God's craftsman view you? Constant delight. Now, we don't believe that. We can read that, but we don't believe it. We believe somehow that God stops caring about us. God stops loving us. God stops delighting in us because we've made so many mistakes. The truth is, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Because you know what this wisdom, this delights in mankind, you know what this wisdom is doing? And now you're back to earning your learning. In chapter 8, it'll say wisdom is standing there like a woman saying, come over here. Come over here. I'll take care of you. I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you food. I'll give you love. I'll give you everything. Come here. Come over here, you simple ones. Now, while wisdom is delighting in us, while wisdom is trying to entice us to a better life, on the other side of the street is the wicked city woman, chapter 9. Her name is Folly. Come over here, you simple ones. I'll take care of you. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you everything you need. And so here's this simple-minded fella wakes up every morning. And I'm pointing to me in case you didn't see it. This simple-minded fellow wakes up every morning and says, okay, what am I going to do? And there are two voices calling. There are two women calling. There are two wonders of the world calling. One is wisdom calling me. I will take care of you. I will give you what it takes to prosper. I will give you life. I will give you love. And over here, Folly is saying, come over here, man. There's no rules over here. You get what you want over here. You can do what you want, when you want, how you want. Come over here. And this simple-minded fella has to decide what? Which way I'm going to go. I sure would like what I want. I sure would like there's no rules. I'd sure like to never get caught. I'd sure like that. But there's a way that seems right to me that I know ends in death. So I said, whoa. I'm not going to figure this out. I'm going to let God figure this out. What does God say do? Find wisdom, young man. Make it supreme. You find wisdom. Yeah, but it looks more fun over there. Yeah, the truth is, It only looks more fun. Because is it? Anybody here and there want to say? No, it ain't more fun over there. I promise, it ain't fun over there. You know where you have the real fun? It's right here. And wisdom is delighting in us. So you hold that in. But if you hold that in, what do you keep out? Now, you keep out folly. Now, here's where I've got it. I'm going to let you exercise. And then we'll tie the knot, and it'll be appropriate that we remember Jesus after we mention these. Don't tell me a name. Don't tell me a name. It's not important that about the person's name. But tell me the person that had the most negative influence on your choices that led you into folly. Now, you understand, I'm not blaming anybody. I was the one that made those choices. I'm not blaming anybody. But there were people involved in my life that influenced me that way. Who, I don't want a name, but who was it? And what did they do to make you begin to make that shift toward doing what you knew you shouldn't do?
A friend.
What was the appeal? What was the... You deserve this. And she believed it. What person and what influence were they on you?
His girlfriend. Just wanted to keep her around. She kept doing what she wanted to do.
Uh-huh. A girlfriend wanted to keep her happy, so kept doing what she wanted to do. Who was the person that had that influence over you? Now, it was your decision. We're not blaming anybody. You hear me? Not blaming anybody. But who was the person that folly used to lead you away from the person God created you to be?
A respected teacher.
A respected teacher? Yeah. What was the influence?
Flattery.
Uh-huh. Boy, flattery can do it, can't it? Can't flattery get you? You want to believe it? How powerful is it to believe that someone thinks you are something extraordinarily special? And that's the truth. And God sees you that way, but we don't see ourselves that way. So when that voice comes from folly, what are we? That's why we're drawn to it. You think I'm that? You want me that way? I mean, the want, the flattery, all of that pulls you in that direction. Anybody else? Who is the person that had that influence? What'd they do? You know, and I appreciate you saying, sometimes it can be your own family that calls you into folly. And can be unintentional. They say things, they do things that gives you the wrong impression. And you think, again, it's leaning on your own understanding. You think, if I do this, if I do things to be worthy, then they'll love me more, or they'll be proud of me. And what results sometimes, which shows you how foolish we can be, we do things that we know if they knew about, they wouldn't be proud of. But again, we're not for sure they'll ever find out. Hope they never find out. And that they'll just be proud. Their pride becomes our God. Our pleasure becomes our God. You'll find it in the Proverbs. I'm not telling you. You earn it, you'll learn it. The man who loves pleasure will come to ruin. We want what we want. somebody convinces us we want something else, and we move that direction, and look where it led us. All right. There was flattery. There was other enticements. There was that reassurance that, oh, this won't hurt, nobody will know. All those lies that I had told people forever not to listen to, I listened to. I was a fool. So if I'm going to rebuild my life, I've got to stop listening to that. I've got to seek wisdom, and I've got to guard my heart. And if there was anything I could teach any of our kids, I would teach them this. I'd teach you old people the same thing. You do not have to let someone have access to your heart. That is no more Christian than all of that stuff that you heard in school or in church about Christians are open and vulnerable and transparent. All of those are damaging kind of words. They are not of God. They are not of God. If Jesus had the right to guard his heart, you have the right to guard yours. Guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Keep the precious delight of God's love in your heart, and you keep out. Well, what's our faith? What's 26? Chapter 26? What's 26? You don't have to look. What is it?
Whack the birds.
That's right. That little girl's gone, so we can say it. Whack the birds. The undeserved curse. The thing said by a family member. The thing said by the boyfriend, the girlfriend. The thing said by the teacher or the coach. The thing said by that person who had no right to your heart, to your life. That thing said, where did you let it rest? You let it rest in your heart. And you wouldn't let a bird build a nest in your hair? You wouldn't, I guarantee you. And to illustrate it, wait till we get a pigeon in here the next time. I'm going to call you. I'm going to turn out the lights like it happened to me. I walked in here, walked back to the kitchen because I knew there was a light there, but I heard something in there. And that you come into any kind of church building, even this one, at night, there's a creepy crawly factor, right? It's just weird. You hear weird things, you see weird, and it's just weird. But I hear somebody back in the kitchen, I think, oh, that's weird. So the hair standing up on my arm, hair on the back of my neck starting to stand up. I open that door, and I still hear that. And I figure out there's a bird in here. I flip on the light, and that bird sees that door and comes right at me. I squealed like a little girl. And I'm doing, if there'd have been a video here, in fact, that's what I thought. I got set up by somebody. I guarantee you, I'll bring you here and let you go through that, and you wouldn't let a bird build a nest in your hair. Do not let those words find a place to rest in your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. For out of it come the issues of your life. And you keep seeking God's wisdom and you rebuild your life. And then you can look at yourself, in spite of the mistakes you made, you can look at yourself and see the person that God meant for you to be. Make sense? That gives you balance. Focus.